This is Warrior Sound Live.
Here comes Curry. Step back off the dribble three.
Here's Lawrence Scott.
Thank you so much. Mike Newton, the head coach of the Warriors NBA 2K team, joins us. And we've got a ton to talk about. Let's start with one of the great parts of your story. And that is not all about just gaming. It's that you played some college basketball for a season at Northwood University in Florida before transferring to Urbana University in Ohio, a Division II team where you were a starter, point guard. But if you would please share with us some of what helped take you from the court to coaching an NBA 2K team.
Yes. So I started off my freshman year. I went to Northwood University in West Palm Beach, Florida. Now it's known as Kaiser University. And there I was coached by Rose Massimino, which is, you know, formerly one of the historical coaches. He's known for a Villanova championship in 1985. So that was a great experience. My first game was against Kentucky University, and then my second game was against Michigan State. So to be able to be coached by somebody at that level and soak in all of that knowledge at such a young age helped me tremendously. From there, we had a great season. We were ranked at one point in time number one in Division II NAIA. We had the most wins in Northwood history. And then, unfortunately, you know, we ended the season off on a rocky start. I mean, a rocky finish with, losing the tournament early. So from there, I decided to transfer to Urbana University, which is closer to home for me. It's right in between Dayton and Columbus. It's a Division II school, very great league, known as the Mountain East Conference. So from there, I just had the mindset of, you know, I wanted to change the culture there. They had tough season prior to me getting there. So in my mind, I was just, you know, hey, I'm going in there to change things up and turn this into a winning culture. And through my three seasons there, I was a starter. I went through two different coaches, and it was tough. Just winning my whole life and then, you know, having to adjust and take on a more of a leadership role where, you know, I had a bunch of younger guys who, you know, they may have been the best players on their team, but they weren't playing at a higher level. They weren't playing against big time competition. So, you know, coming into the league of a Mountain East Conference where, you know, four out of the, you know, 10 teams may be top five in Division II, and then, you know, the rest of the pack may be top 25. So every game was a tough game, and you had to be at your top game. So, you know, coming into the year, it was just tough for me trying to lead a squad and then trying to, you know, obviously guard the best player, score, assist, just that role. It was just stressful. And then, you know, at the end of the day, looking back on it, it just helped me so much as a coach because understanding that, you know, you got to have patience. You got to meet guys halfway. So it came from, you know, me just going to the gym by myself to now bringing guys with me. It went from me just watching film with the coach to me reaching out to players saying, hey, you should come with me. You know, and just looking at the situation, the glass half full as opposed to half empty and just saying, hey, we may be losing games, but for me and my development, I'm really getting a great learning experience on how to be a leader, you know, a teacher. So that definitely molded me into the coach that I am today.
You know, a few months back, we talked with the head of Warriors Esports, Hunter Lee, here on this show about what's being built with Warriors Gaming Squad and the NBA 2K team. And, you know, any team success is part of talent meeting preparation. And I'm just wondering, for you, what are some of the key strategies for preparing the 2K team for success?
So first, I just want to say, you know, I would be naive to not give credit to the guys who were here before me. So, you know, Hunter Lee, who's still here with us, Rustin Lee, the team manager, and then Coach Tommy, who was here with the Warriors Gaming Squad for the first 2 years. I mean, they've done a phenomenal job of, you know, orchestrating this team and, you know, making the right decisions and, you know, just forming a team that's willing to go out and compete. And it's just a great group of guys. So, I mean, they've done a good job from the past 2 years. Now, coming into season three, obviously, you know, with the high expectations, you know, coming in, you just have to be dedicated and committed to, you know, the situation at hand. So for me personally, preparation is key. And some of the things that I'm big on is film. So, you know, if we have the Hawks coming up now, and I'll go to the NBA content website, and I'll watch their series and I'll clip games. And, you know, after practice, me and the guys will go over film. We'll go over, you know, different defensive schemes that we want to run. Offensively, you know, I got a very talented group where, you know, lucky for me, I don't have to put in too many plays. But defensively is something that we really focus and hone in on. And, you know, we'll watch film, you know, 2 out of 3 times out of the week if need be, you know, if we have an opponent coming up. And then if we have a back-to-back where it's, you know, maybe we have a Thursday and a Friday game, which we'll see this upcoming week, then we may have a less time to prepare for that second team. But preparation is key. And another thing that we're big on is, you know, during practice, you know, obviously we're playing these games to win, but at the same time, we really want to hone in and focus on, you know, our opponent later in that week. So we may play teams during practice a certain way during practice that we won't play that team in the game. But the main focus for us is our opponent. We want to win the game. We don't care about the scrimmages and, you know, the practices. And again, we want to be competitive, but, you know, it's a bigger picture at hand. And we much rather see, you know, a win in that W column as opposed to, you know, a win in a scrimmage. So,
well, I'll tell you, we love getting to know what you're doing with the team. And I want folks to get to know you a little bit better as well here, too. We'll talk more 2K action and what is to come with that. But thinking of your upbringing in the Cleveland, Ohio area and how you went to St. Edward High School back when Warriors assistant coach Mike Brown was the head coach of the Cavs and his son Elijah played for the high school team there with you on that team at St. Edward. What were some of your experiences with the Brown family and how does that relationship continue to this day?
Oh, it was great. So, you know, we both attended St. Edward High School, which is in Lakewood, Ohio. It's a Catholic private school, great education. You know, and we were, me and Elijah were both coached by Eric Flannery. You know, Eric Flannery's resume speaks volumes. You know, he's on the USA basketball staff. I believe he's coached the McDonald's All-American game, the Jordan Brand Classic game. And he just does a great job of, you know, being able to manage the talent that he has and manage the attitude. So, I mean, when you talk about, you know, relationships, connections, and, you know, the different coaches that I've come across and I've taken things from, he's definitely one of the guys where, you know, I've taken some things from. And he's just a very family-oriented person. You know, it was during a stretch where, you know, I was having issues, you know, just being a young kid, just stressed out with, you know, normal teenage things. And I actually went to his house for a summer and spent some time with him and his family. So, I just want to say, you know, my experience at St. Ed's as far as the coaching staff and my teammates was great. But to touch on Elijah, you know, my freshman year, so Elijah is 1 year younger than me. So when I was a freshman, he was in eighth grade. So, you know, my freshman year, I played varsity. So I think I played 2 JV games and then they moved me up immediately to a varsity team. At the time, we had a very young team where I think we only had 3 seniors and we had about, you know, probably 2 freshmen, and then the rest were just sophomores and juniors. And the season prior to that, so before I was a freshman, they had one of the best teams in the nation. That team consisted of Delvon Rowe, who played at Michigan State, Tom Pritchard, who played at Indiana University, Frankie Dobbs, he went to Bryansburg. Just a talented group. They actually played Campbell Hall, who was premiered by Drew Holiday on ESPN, and they beat them. So going from, you know, a team having like 16 seniors when I was in eighth grade to my freshman year, you know, having 3 was, you know, something unheard of. And we were still winning games. So my freshman year passes by and we start having open gyms. And this kid comes in, happens to be Elijah, and lefty, pretty talented. But, you know, we didn't really know him. Elijah lived on the west side of Cleveland. I lived on the east side of Cleveland, 2 totally different worlds. So, you know, I didn't really think much of it. It was like, whatever, you know, kids here. And I think Mike Brown shows up and I'm like, whoa, who, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on here? And then it came to my knowledge, like, okay, this is Mike Brown's son. But, you know, myself, and the rest of the guys never treated Elijah any differently. We just looked at him as another kid that wanted a spot on our team. So fast forward to 2009, 2010 season. Now Elijah's a freshman. You know, he's playing JV. Now our varsity team's a little bit better. We're ranked 90th in the country. So out of the top 100 high school teams, you know, my team is 90th. I'm the 6th man at this point. Now the freshmen are sophomores. You know, we got a couple more seniors. So So now we're looking at, okay, possibly we win states in Ohio for Division One. You know, after our first game, I go down with an injury. I break my ankle. So, you know, the doctor tells me, you know, you're probably going to be out for the rest of the season and longer. So I took that very hard. You know, at this point in time, my recruiting is going up. You know, I'm taking college visits as a sophomore. Like, I have high hopes. And then just like that, I missed my sophomore year. So now I'm out. We're looking for, you know, somebody to fill in a place. And lo and behold, you know, there's Elijah Brown. So, you know, Elijah comes in as a freshman going from, you know, used to being a combo guard where the responsibility to bring the ball up and run the point guard position is not really his forte. He can do it, but he's more comfortable kind of in that wing position where he can, you know, catch and shoot, work off the bounce. So he comes in, and it was tough for him to start because, like I said, he's not a natural point guard. We have this senior who's like 5'4", very feisty, just gets after it, just any typical senior who doesn't want a young guy to take his position. So I had experienced something like Elijah did my freshman year because he felt the same way as I did. You know, I'm a freshman, and here's this junior who's just after me every day in practice. So I kind of took over a mentor role for him, just trying to let him know, like, hey, like, this is maybe what you need to do when he pressures you. Or, you know, when he's in help side, he ball watches, so why don't you cut back door? So I kind of took on that role early on, like, what's the way that I could help the team out since I can't play? So if I'm going to be on the sidelines, I need to be the best supporter there is. And I just knew as a freshman that was a lot to take on for Elijah. And after that, I mean, we kind of grew close. Elijah started to open up to everyone. And, I mean, we just took him in as a brother. And, I mean, that relationship continued throughout not only high school, but even when he moved. You know, his dad took the Lakers job. And, you know, he had to go to California with his father, obviously. And he attended Monterey Day. But even through all of that, we stayed in touch. I just remember being in Cleveland, his dad would let us all come over. We would kick it in the pool. You know, we would come back inside. His father and mom would order us pizza. And I mean, it would just be a great time. You have some guys upstairs playing video games. Everybody else is downstairs, you know, turn the lights off. And we're playing, you know, hide and go seek, just young kids in high school having fun. And like I said, when he went to California, myself and I'm a good friend of his and also myself, his name's Mark Murray. He now works for Clutch Sports. Me and Mark Murray goes out and we visit Elijah, and, you know, another great time. You know, we hung out. We got to, you know, explore California at a young age. We went to a Lakers game. Like, not too many people could say they went to a Lakers game at age 17 and got to go backstage, you know, see Kobe's locker. You know, get introduced to Metal World Peace and Paul Gasol. So all of these memories that we made all started from him just being a young freshman and just coming in as a kid. Nobody looked at him as Mike Brown's son. And, I mean, to this day, you know, me and Elijah talk. Whenever he's in Cleveland and I'm home, you know, he'll hit me up and say, hey, can I get a workout in? I'll work him out. You know, and then after that, you know, we'll go hang out, you know, get some lunch. We'll watch film on Synergy, like whatever the case may be. We'll play 2K online. Like, it's just a normal friendship. It was never, you know, hey, you're Mike Brown's son. And what I love most about the Brown family is they carry themselves in a way of they're normal. They don't want to be looked at that. They want to be treated the same. And they don't use that or hold that power over people. So, I mean, another, like, that just goes to, like, show and pay my respect to the Brown family because they raised their kids right. And that's Elijah Brown and Elijah Brown's brother, you know, Cameron Brown, who I think birthday was yesterday. So, I mean, I've never had a problem with Elijah. I don't know anybody who has. Great guy, great family. So, I mean, I'm happy to this point. You know, I think it's going on 10 years. We've been friends 10 or 11 years, and hopefully that can continue over the course of, you know, our lifespan.
Yeah, Coach Brown is certainly awesome, and the family as well. And we're joined here by Mike Newton, the Warriors 2K coach. And some of this has been part of an evolution of your career working through the G League, first with the Wisconsin Herd of the Bucks organization. We follow the Herd and some of what Coach Buford does there. And then a move to Santa Cruz that brought you not just to the Warriors organization before the 2K opportunity, but a bigger opportunity to be part of player development and help with the Santa Cruz Warriors. How do you continue to this day, in addition to the 2K role, to help with what the G League operation is doing?
Yeah, so that's where it's tricky because, you know, usually when the season ends for the G League, you know, that's it. And, you know, you have coaches, support staff, you know, training staff, you know, looking for what's next. Whether that's, you know, hey, I have to wait 6 months to return, or, you know, I'm looking for another opportunity as far as, you know, a promotion. So for myself, at this point in time, I'm still doing work with our guys because, you know, when you speak of terms of, you know, player development, team player development, it's often I'm confused for, you know, on the court development, which I do as well. But my role consists of, you know, all of this stuff outside of basketball. So, you know, making sure paperwork is correct, making sure all of our guys have their proper benefits and they're receiving those benefits, right? And just anything that has to deal with outside of basketball, making sure that, you know, my players' lives are, you know, going as smooth as possible. So some of the things I'm still working on, you know, I have guys who are trying to come back to San Francisco and find a living situation so they can train out here with some of the more notable trainers. So, you know, like, for instance, yesterday I was making calls to the Hyatt and looking up Airbnbs, you know, in the price range or the budget for one of our players. So, you know, they can come out here and live out here until the summer's over with and start working out. You know, some of our guys, like I said, when you talk about in terms of benefits, they're all over the place because they don't know with the COVID situation the next time they can get in. So they're asking me to call the league, you know, and make sure their benefits are still available. And if not, you know, is there some way they can get paid back for, you know, obviously they're paying for their benefits. So, I mean, honestly, the job as far as player development never stops because you talk about these relationships that you've built with these guys. And now it's like an attachment. It's almost like a marriage. So you know, you want to make sure they're good at home. You want to make sure their family's healthy. You know, if there's an opportunity for them to better themselves, you know, as far as like, you know, real estate, if a guy wants to start purchasing homes in Chicago, then that's my job to find a connection to, you know, coordinate and link them up together. So hopefully they can figure something out. So, I mean, I love what I do in terms of player development with the Santa Cruz Warriors. And I'm still doing it to this day throughout the days, especially during this pandemic. So it's been good.
As fans get to know you, it's pretty obvious that the success you're seeing with the 2K team right now as the head coach is fueled in large part by your enthusiasm and your energy. And a lot of this, too, in this world of basketball is making great connections and kind of learning along the way. And some of those opportunities can get connected through the NBA Summer League. Some friends of our show, Warren Legarry and Albert Hall, help run the Summer League. So we see it firsthand when we're there in Las Vegas for Summer League. And I'm just curious as what it represents to you and how Summer League was instrumental in connecting you with the larger coaching community.
Oh my gosh. So first off, shout out to Warren Legarry and Albert Hall. I mean, and someone who doesn't get enough praise, and I hope this gets to her some way or not, but Rhoda is like Warren Legarry's right-hand woman. You know, and I can keep going on. Carla, Sergio, like, that whole staff and what they stand for is amazing. And how they run that operation is insane. You know, I am huge, like a huge advocate for Summer League. And especially for, you know, younger professionals, if you can find a way, you know, to get connected with those names I spoke of or find a way, you know, to work in Summer League, I highly recommend it. And it's not just because of, you know, the connections with these coaches and the connections, you know, with the higher executives, but the family you create with those other 170 interns or whatever the case may be in that room. So for me, my first time at Summer League, you know, I built a lot of my connections from the ground up. So I never had a family member who, you know, worked in the NBA, or I never had a family member who, you know, was remotely, you know, close to what I'm doing at this point in time as far as a career. So I had to constantly, like, find ways to network, constantly go to workshops, whatever the case may be. So now, fast forward, I'm in Summer League in this room with 100 and however many other individuals around my same age. And for the most part, just to be honest, like, these guys and women are, you know, sons and daughters of, you know, higher executives, or they're connected in some way where, you know, they just make a call and they're there. So it's somewhat, you know, intimidating for me because I'm like, wow, like, I'm here now, but you know, these kids, they've been around this their whole life. You know, so how they take it may not be the same how I take this experience. So I have to be on my A game. So I definitely felt pressure, you know, performing at a high level, but that summer league is great. I mean, Warren LeGarry and Albert make sure, you know, we're always fed, we're paid right, we stay in a nice hotel. You know, they have events for us because we work long hours, but they have events for us to, you know, kind of lay back and just, like I said, kick it and relax with the people that we're working with. But also, we are also, you know, in a way, we're also around other professionals where we can still network and meet them too. And honestly, that's how I reconnected with the Santa Cruz Warriors. You know, my last year, so this past year, me working with the Summer League, I ran into Ryan Atkinson, who is now our GM of the Santa Cruz Warriors, and the rest of their staff. And, you know, we talked for a little bit during Summer League, and I just let him know, you know, I'm looking for a different situation now. And from there, you know, that's how this all came about. So, I mean, Summer League is a great opportunity. Even if you're just going there to watch basketball, connect with people, there's so many great basketball minds and just great individuals all there with the same mindset of meeting new people, watching good basketball, and just enjoying their time. So, I mean, I highly recommend Summer League for anyone, whether that's, you know, an up-and-coming young professional, NBA fan or basketball fan, or a family vacation, you know what I mean? Like, just go to Summer League, trust me, and I won't steer you wrong. You will enjoy yourself, and they do a great job. And I just know with the Summer League, it's just going to keep getting better and better and better each year, because those guys work all year long trying to make that thing the best thing possible. And this just goes to show, and a lot of times, you know, as a fan, you don't pay attention to the little things that are going on in operation, right? You just look at the big picture of, okay, there's 10 guys on the court right now, you know, trying the same objective, put a ball through a net. But you miss out on the little key details. When you have a guy like Warren LeGarry walking around picking up trash underneath seats. Warren LeGarry is going around picking up trash off the floor because he wants this thing to be spotless. He wants everybody to feel comfortable at home. Then a guy like me has no excuse not to pick up trash. You know what I mean? And when you bring a group like that together, all for the same common goal, to throw a show on for everyone who comes to the event, you're going to have a fantastic time. So, I mean, I have nothing but high praise for everyone who's ever worked for Summer League and everyone who's about Summer League. So,
yeah, very well put. It's about rolling up your sleeves. And, of course, we're not just close friends with them through Summer League, but a lot of what we do with our NBA sound system programming and some of the Warriors podcast programming, putting a spotlight on Summer League and working with Hall Pass Media, Albert's group, to bring basketball stories continually through the NBA sound system, including the pickup game with Seth Greenberg and Mark Jones doing an interview series, as well as some of the sports business classroom stuff that they do. So all of that part of what we are doing. And one of those things is our development coaches series. And we talked about how coaches are using video within the Warriors organization with players as basically like a learning tool. But now that we're thinking about 2K, I wonder, how do you see NBA 2K, or even virtual reality that takes the form of the kind of graphics that we see in gaming, evolving to potentially be part of how NBA players are trained, at least from a visualization standpoint? How could that work?
Yeah, so it's twofold. So obviously, you know, guys, you have to put in the work in terms of, you know, getting out there and, you know, working out, making sure you're dieting right, and, you know, you're constantly working out and getting reps up. But virtually, I just think it's so important because, you know, when you're able to see it before it happens, then that's powerful. So, you know, for us, like I said, we watch film, you know, and, you know, we're constantly looking at things we can, you know, somewhat make better. You know what I mean? Whether or not, we're always looking to progress, right? We never want to stay comfortable. So when watching, you know, you watch for key elements, like, hey, like, you know, you got your spot here. Hey, I noticed that you tend to go left here as opposed to right. So let's work on your right hand. You know, there's so many different dynamics to, you know, virtual and film. And so I think that's one of the biggest teachers or best teachers, because you can say something to me and I may or may not believe you. But now if you say something to me and show it to me, you hand it to me and it's proof in the pudding then. You know what I mean? I have to believe it because I'm seeing it. So a lot of times these guys, whether it's an NBA guy or a 2K guy, they're visual learners. They have to see it in order for them to believe it. And there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, when you speak about the player development coaches, I think that's huge. You'll see these guys with their laptops, you know, and not even just during practice, but even before a game. You know, these guys are clipping, putting in his work. And shout out to A-Miles. You know, I know he's one of the guys who does it. You know, they're on the sideline right after, you know, these NBA guys are getting shots up. They're pulling guys to the side and they're saying like, hey, you know, this might be here tonight in tonight's game. And once you put that in someone's mind, now they're visualizing themselves in the game tonight doing exactly what they're seeing. So when you bring it back to the 2K world and you're trying to see, like, is there any correlation to real-life basketball and virtual basketball, right? We're doing the same thing. Like I said earlier in the podcast, you know, we're watching film constantly, whether it's over a game or whether it's over, you know, practice. And me telling, you know, for example, I might tell Keenan, our point guard, hey, you know, when you're dribbling towards the middle, there's help at the elbow where they'll pinch. And that's where a lot of your turnovers are coming from. So let's try not to attack this way as much. Let's try to attack along the sideline. And if you do come off the screen, you can snake back middle, you know what I mean, where the whole floor will open up for you. And now you have the option to shoot. You can lob it to our big man Slaughter. You got the corners, and you may have Beast moving the hash. So now I'm explaining it, but I'm also showing. So now he can go out and practice and do, you know what I mean, as I said. And if it works, perfect. If not, now we just need to go right back to the film so that he can see it again. And I think that the more we continue to stay open-minded and, you know, because at first, you know, I'm sure back in the 80s or the 70s or the 60s, you know, they didn't have the same technology as us, obviously. But now we're to a point where technology is so useful, it is just going to keep getting better and better. So, I mean, the more open-minded we stay, I mean, I just see virtual just being so, so, so important in development and just continuing to get our players better, whether it's, you know, real basketball in the NBA or virtual.
Finally here, for basketball fans who are learning more about the NBA 2K League and all of the competition that unfolds, what are some of the things to look for when watching NBA 2K streams or TV broadcasts that will help draw in new fans?
So first, you know, I just want to tell, you know, fans or, you know, not only fans, but, you know, some of the people who are trying to get into 2K, but they, you know, just can't see themselves watching it, just give it a chance. That's what I want to say first. Just give it an opportunity. Just give it a watch, and then from there you can make your decision. But one thing I think that, you know, some people could look for, individuals can look for, is the personality, the different personality. So, you know, you have these individuals who put just as much time in 2K than, you know, some of the guys that are in the league put in their own craft. So just respecting their craft. Like, I have guys who are on the game 8 to 10 hours a day, you know, practicing their craft. And I'm sure there's other teams around the league who have guys put just as much time in. So just respecting their craft, but the personality behind it, right? You have so many different personalities. When you're watching ESPN 2, you have some guys who are just looking at the screen, just, you know, composed as all it can be. And then you have other guys who are slapping the table, screaming, you know what I mean? It's just different personalities. And it's just going to get better once these individuals take the stage. Because right now it's all remote play. But imagine putting these individuals and these teams in front of each other playing this video game, and they're screaming and they're, you know, taunting, you know, it's fiery. And then another big thing for me would be, okay, now there's an opportunity. So, okay, so when you look at the target market, a lot of the fans out there are younger individuals, right? Gamers who are probably between the ages of 10 and I would say 23, 24. But for the younger individuals, as a parent, someone who may not be into that, understanding that, hey, this is another opportunity for my son or my daughter. Like, they can make a lot of money playing 2K. So, I mean, as a parent, if my daughter or, you know, my son is interested in something, best believe I'm going to be interested in it too. So I think just understanding that, you know, now the world is shifting from, you know, hey, like after high school, it's time for you to get a job. You know what I mean? 9 to 5 to, hey, my son or my daughter can literally get paid handsomely for what he loves to do. And that's playing a video game. Like, so I just think fans need to understand that too. Like these kids and these individuals, they're doing what they love. They're living rent free. You know, they're getting paid well. And that's something that, in my understanding, that's why people go to college, right? People go to college for education, but mainly, you know, to be set to go on and carry on with their life, hopefully get a career. These kids, I have a kid, like I said, right now on my team who he's still in college and he's doing what he loves though. He's doing what he loves, getting paid for it. Can't beat that. You can't beat that. So just personality and just understanding that there's an opportunity for, you know, the younger generation. And as for parents, you know, if you love your kid and, you know, your kid is interested in something, I mean, I would support them wholeheartedly. And some of that support is, you know, being an avid fan and trying, at least trying to understand the game and trying to become a fan and give it a chance.
We love your energy and your enthusiasm and all of what you're bringing to the NBA 2K team for the Warriors. Mike Newton, the head coach of the Warriors 2K team, thank you so much for joining us.
Really appreciate it.
This has been Warriors Sound Live.
Right side three. Got it!